Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Mark from AMSOIL, and I wanted to chat with him about engine coolant. I think it's something that can be overlooked in the maintenance schedules that we're doing on our trucks, and I wanted to know more about the different types that are out there, and when it comes time for servicing the coolant system, what AMSOIL offers, how it's different, how it can be compatible with other types of coolant that are on the market. So I really look forward to chatting with them today. Before we get to it, I want to remind you that our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a discount code for you. You get 20% off site-wide. Just use code DIESEL20. They got a ton of different choices for a bunch of different knives and gear and really things to meet any budget out there. So if you're in the market, definitely check them out at kershaw.kiausa.com. Also, if you're listening on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, turn on notifications. Like and comment on the episode. Let us know how you liked it. If there's questions that you have, if you'd like us to have a particular guest or cover a topic, we love to hear from you guys. And we love when we can have these episodes reach people who are searching for these topics on YouTube. So it goes a long way to help us. All right, let's get to today's episode with Mark from AMSOIL and talking about engine coolant. Mark, welcome back to the Diesel Podcast. I always enjoy our chats about AMSOIL maintenance, fluids, oil, filters, all the great conversations we've had before. So today I wanted to chat with you about coolant and how important that is and probably very often overlooked. So welcome back to the podcast. Look forward to this chat.
Thanks. Good to be here. That is a topic that not a lot of people sit around the table and chat about.
They don't. Now that the oil side is different. That's a very passionate, spirited debate, and there's lots of conversations with it. But the reason I thought of this is I've had kind of an influx of newer truck owners that have bought older trucks. And one of the first things they ask, they say, hey, I listen to the Diesel Podcast. You guys talk about maintenance. I know I need to change the fuel filter, the oil filter. Some of them will even say transmission, but I rarely hear coolant. And so I wanted to ask you to kind of give us an overview of what coolant does and what lack of maintenance can do to heads, the engine, thermostats, just what you guys have seen, you know, through testing and experience, why it's important to service a cooling system.
Right. It's kind of interesting that you say that, right. We hear the same thing. So many people are interested in the engine oil side of it and lots of spirited debates on brands and viscosities and et cetera, et cetera. But the people quickly overlook the second life blood of that engine, coolant. The engine doesn't run without coolant, just like the engine can't run without oil. It needs both of them, but yet this country typically goes right to the oil side and quickly forgets the cooling side. And, you know, trucks 20 years ago, you know, we're not putting out 400, 450 horse from the factory, diesel trucks, that is. They didn't have transmission coolers and heaters. They didn't have oil coolers and heaters on them. So today's cooling system in a diesel pickup specifically it's doing many more jobs than it ever used to. It's taking out heat from the engine, way more heat than it was in the yesteryear's trucks. It's heating and cooling the tranny fluid, and it's heating and cooling the engine oil in exterior coolers. So there's a lot more taxation on today's cooling system than there ever was. And we want more and more and more power out of every vehicle that we drive, right? Which is, it's more heat that the engine has to manage. And that heat gets managed through the cooling system and through the oil that runs through the engine.
That's a really good point. And I didn't think about that beforehand, but with newer trucks and the emission systems and the heat that they need to generate for regeneration, it's completely different than a 7.3 or 5.9 common rail or an LB7 Duramax used to be, but we're still using the same type of coolant, or we're using coolant to handle that extra heat. And then the other things that you mentioned are really important. So where, as far as coolant's concerned, what happens or what is the challenge now by asking that fluid to handle these other responsibilities. And, you know, what happens if you don't change it on time? What happens if you just forget it, or, you know, you don't know the service history on a vehicle? What are some things that can take place?
I think it's probably good to start with the basics of, so that people have an understanding of what coolant really is. You know, there are three major components to a coolant. There's water. Water does a great job at heat transfer and removing heat from the engine. There's glycol. And the glycol is there to ensure that the water doesn't freeze when it gets in cold temperatures. And then you have some inhibitors. You have some chemistry that you would put into it that protects the system from problems, whether it's corrosion, scale, erosion, cavitation, the list goes on. So those are the three big components. Well, if you run coolant too long in an engine, the water is unaffected by its service life. Glycol is very affected by service life. Too long warm temperatures for too long a period of times, the glycol will break down. The glycol turns into glycolate, formate, oxalate. Those are all acids, and they will eat your system from the inside out. Now, the inhibitors that we put into this coolant are designed to protect from, you know, the breakdown of glycol, and they will to a point, and then they won't. And then the acids in the system, the pH will drop to a point in which the engine will just start leaking because you're rotting it from the inside out.
Is that
so when people don't change their coolants, they're putting their engine, you know, and all their coolers at risk for these problems.
That's what I was just thinking was going to ask, is all the different components to an engine that would be affected by something like acid and erosion and different things like that. It could wreak havoc on a system. How quickly, I know this is kind of a probably a hard question to answer, but you know, say somebody buys a 2005 Dodge Ram 2500, they have no service records, they can't see anything. How long would it take to go past a normal interval change where you can start to see these negative effects? Like, is it then 500 miles? Is it 5,000 miles after that? Or is there any sort of data or testing to know how far past the service interval you can go before you start to see these issues?
That is a huge depends answer. Now, anyone that buys a used pickup, no matter how old it is, no matter how many miles are on it, the cheapest insurance they have is just drain every single fluid out of that truck and start over.
Yeah.
You know then where you're at. To get to your question about how long it would take before coolants can break down and stop protecting, well, it's formulation dependent. What type of coolant was in that engine? Was it an older coolant that had a bunch of inorganic salts that get consumed over time? Versus an organic acid coolant that passivates the surface that has a much longer service life. So there's some formulation pieces that can drive the difference in how long a coolant will last. And then the truck itself, you know, does the cap on the system build pressure anymore, or does it leak? If it doesn't build as much pressure anymore, it won't protect from the same level of temperature, but it will also let oxygen in the air into the cooling system, which then rapidly breaks down glycol. And then to what temperature was that vehicle ran at? You know, is the cooling system working as the OEM intended it to? Is it degrading over time? Is the system running hotter and hotter? So, I mean, there's a trio combination of formulation, engine temperature, and then the integrity of your cooling system, whether it still builds pressure, which drives how long your cooling will last in your engine.
I think the big takeaway I have from that is there's so many unknowns. I just need to start over. I need to start fresh, like you mentioned. And I know we've talked about it with engine oil, transmission fluid, gears before, but The coolant, it to me, it's one of those things where you either do it because you had a head gasket failure and a shop's telling you, hey, we got a service cooling system. Or if you're being proactive or look at the owner's manual, which we've talked about before, and saying, you know, what mileage or time frame do I need to do this at? It's probably best to just be proactive with it.
It is when you're buying something that's used, that you have no history of, right? If you're the guy that bought the brand new truck and you have it's in your possession forever, then, you know, first fill from the factory, follow the manual. Or if you want to be more proactive and ensure that you're using the best fluid out there, you can get something like a coolant that we offer and then follow our recommendation on service life, because our recommendation is based on history and years of service of this fluid and its capability to protect from the degradation and breakdown of glycol because of the inhibitors that we use in the system. We take a little different approach to our coolants than others. Our coolants are well fortified with organic acids that provide long service life. So it means you're going to put it in your truck and you're not going to think about it for many years. And it's a worry that we take that burden so that you don't have to own it.
Is that when it comes to the formulations? And I think if a truck owner is listening right now and they can go a bunch of different places, look at a ton of different products in the marketplace, what will you find on some of the, say, lower cost products versus the formulation you mentioned with that long-term protection? So what's the trade-off when people are trying to make a decision on which coolant they're going to get?
The trade-off in the coolant world is the inhibitor chemistry that you put in there to protect from, you know, your erosion, corrosion, cavitation, all of the things that we need to protect the inside of this engine because you're putting water at it, right? So if you use an older school technology, inorganic salt type coolant, well, those salts get consumed over time based on what they're being exposed to. They have a finite life to them, which then means they require top treating of inhibitors in order to keep the system protected. Most people struggle with that because it requires testing. And then the testing can be difficult to understand. And then they either undertreat it or they overtreat it with this inhibitor chemistry, which in today's world you might see it as an SCA, that's a supplemental coolant additive. The problem is if you imbalance the system, you can get additive dropout, which can cause silica gelling and scaling in the system. Or if you don't have enough, you'll allow corrosion and erosion to happen inside the engine. So with an inorganic salt type chemistry, you need to make sure that your chemistry is at the right balance. It's a step and people can do it, but it's more complicated, and the opportunity for you to screw it up and get it wrong and then cause problems in your system is a lot higher.
I gotcha.
On the flip side to that, if you go to a chemistry like we use, organic acids, there's no maintenance. There's no checking. You put it in your system, you follow our recommendation, and we'll protect you from the issues that your cooling system can have. So it takes all of the worry about whether I have the right chemistry for concentrations in there. Do I have to test it annually with these pH test strips? It takes all that away. It makes it much simpler for the consumer to just drain what they have, flush out that old stuff, put in some good organic acid chemistry and not worry about it. Put a line on the calendar 5 years from now, then revisit.
I think that helps a lot of people because they want to do either the maintenance on their vehicle because they enjoy it, they like it, they like to be involved with it, or they're doing it because, you know, they're looking at the projects on their truck and saying, hey, I can save a little bit of money, or I don't have the time to drop it off and wait for it. I'm going to tackle this myself. And so I like the idea of I don't have to be sort of a chemist and figure out, you know, where things are at and use test strips and everything. I just want to drain it, you know, clean it out as best I can, refill it, go, like you said, mark the date on the calendar 5 years from now, and I'm back on my way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right. That's the other piece too, that we probably should note, is that, you know, when you, if you're going to do a service on your vehicle for coolant, you know, coolant can be hiding in a lot of places, right?
Yeah.
The easiest thing is there's a petcock on a radiator and you drain the radiator, but the radiator doesn't drain all those other locations. The radiator may pull out 40%, maybe 50% of the total coolant volume in your vehicle. The engine holds a huge amount and it won't come out through the radiator if you just open the petcock on the radiator. You know, some trucks have tranny coolers, some trucks have oil coolers, and those coolers also won't drain by just pulling the petcock on the radiator. So if you're going to do a service on your cooling system, you can do this one of two ways effectively. One, you can go to a shop that has a flush machine that puts positive pressure on the system and forces all that fluid out and replaces it with new fluid. You know, it costs you money. You got to find a shop that has one of those. It's a little more complex. It's less DIY. But it is by far the most effective way to ensure that all that old fluid gets out. Because you don't want that in there. The DIY method is, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution, right? So if 40% of your radiator comes out every time you pull the petcock, you gotta drain the radiator a few times in order to get a majority of that old fluid out of the system. So, I mean, which may be you're going to drain that radiator four times before you get the concentration down to maybe 10% or less of old fluid. So it takes more time. It's a little more time consuming, but you can nearly get there to the same performance as you would if you had a flush machine.
It brings up a question I was just thinking of is when you don't know the service history on a vehicle, you don't know the formulation, you don't know what coolant, so, you know, the previous owners used. And then you say, okay, I'm going to go with this new one. How does it mix, or how can it mix with that kind of unknown formulation, unknown brand, if you don't get 100% out?
Compatibility in coolants is very important, especially when you're in the inorganic salt realm, because that when you upset the concentrations, you know, the concentration of one product is set based on that marketer, concentration of another product is set based on that marketer. Well, if those two are mixed together and you get, for example, you know, too much silicate in your cooling system, that silicate will fall out and it'll turn into gel in the base of your radiator and it'll start hampering your cooling system. So when you're in the inorganic salt realm, you know, making sure that compatibility is important, or getting all that old fluid out, is very important. When you get into the organic acid realm, which is where I play in, compatibility is less of a concern. My fluid's compatible with everything out there. No worries. Would I prefer you to get most of all your other fluid out there so you get all of the benefits of my fluid to 100%? Yeah, sure. But I know that's difficult. And I know that, you know, draining it a few times and flushing it out and putting our fluid in there, you know, that's what a lot of people do, and we expect that. And you can do that knowing the fact that our fluid is going to be compatible with what's left in your system. But the overall goal really is to try to get out as much of that old stuff as possible, because, you know, glycol that starts breaking down turns into acids. And when it does that, it continually breaks down over time and it rapidly depletes the inhibitors that we put in there.
with you had mentioned AMSOIL being compatible with I think organic acids is what you had mentioned, or that kind of formulation. Was there a time frame, you know, kind of in history where one was more common than the other? Like how much would a truck owner or a diesel shop come across between the two different kinds? Is it time, or is it just like 50-50? You don't necessarily know what you're going to get in today's world.
You can buy, if you go to an auto parts store, there is a plethora of coolant options for you. You're going to find old inorganic salt chemistry. It's the cheapest bottle that's there. You're going to find organic acid chemistry. It's probably going to be the most expensive bottle there. And then you might find some products in between that say HOAT on them, H-O-A-T. It's a hybrid organic acid. So it's a combination of a bunch of organic acids and some additional inorganic salts as a belt and suspenders. Some of those can be middle road price point. Now, the industry at the OEM level started to adopt organic acids probably better than 10 years ago, but not full organic acids. Many of the OEMs you factory fill with hybrids. So they pick off a bunch of organic acids for specific reasons, and then they add in some very specific inorganics as a belt and suspenders for either additional aluminum protection, additional cavitation protection, or just to protect that aluminum radiator because it's brand new. So they do that from a factory level. So compatibility, if you've had a truck in the last 10 years, for sure, it has some, you know, has some organic acid chemistries in it. If it's much older than that, that depends, you know. Or if you bought a used truck, who knows what the guy put into it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The other question I was thinking of is how much, if at all, does the formulation vary whether you have, let's say, a 2017 Powerstroke, a 2003 5.9 Cummins, a 2006 6.0 Powerstroke? Is the AMSOIL product compatible with any of those engines? I'm sure it is, but I know people are going to ask that, like, okay, maybe I got two different trucks, or maybe I've got a fleet and there's different types that are in there. How will this product accommodate the different brands and engines that I have?
Right. So we design our fluids to be compatible with every truck. There isn't a metallic component that you'd find, or elastomer, or hose material in any vehicle out there that our fluid is not going to be compatible with. And that's an important deal, because it wasn't too long ago, maybe early on organic acids, when they start come out, there is a particular acid that is not compatible with some elastomers and hose materials, and they were eating them from the inside. People learned the hard way that happened, and then the manufacturer of that particular coolant changed their fluid design so that it was not eating people's systems. but we make sure that our fluid and all the components that we use are compatible with all the engines you're going to find, all the metallics and elastomers, gaskets, and everything inside that engine, as well as the other fluid brands that can be out there that could be used, and we could be there as a replacement to the guy actually drains it, or for some reason the guy just needs to top up and our product is there and he throws in a gallon to the system because it's leaking. We need to make sure that our fluid isn't going to cause any problems, or that our interaction with that, you know, doesn't cause any problems. So we do a lot of compatibility testing to ensure that our products aren't going to be the root cause to any problem.
One of the reasons that I was thinking about this topic, well, there's two. One is from listeners that'll message into the podcast, ask us to do an episode about some particular part of maintenance or, you know, servicing their truck. And you mentioned this on a previous podcast we did about going to the AMSOIL website, selecting my year, my model, and you guys have so many different products for the truck. Like we're talking about coolant now, but it's not just engine oil or coolant. There's so many things. And as a truck owner myself, I don't want to have to bounce around a bunch of different websites or go to a bunch of different stores and get my oil here, my coolant there, my differential service or differential fluid at one place, try to find the transmission fluid somewhere else. I like that I can go to one spot. And, you know, if we're going to tackle a project on our own, you know, one weekend, I'd like to just have a big box show up with my oil, my filter, my, you know, everything like this. So I love how you guys streamline the maintenance, and I'm sure the shops out there love it too, because they can stock all these different products. Truck rolls in, you can tackle two or three things at once.
Right. Our lookup guide, we've poured thousands of man hours into, you know, validating and making sure we make the right recommendation. And it has become a well utilized resource, even at times for people that aren't buying AMSOIL. They'll run to our website and get capacity information, or they'll get, you know, viscosity information. But it's true. I mean, we're a fluids company, right? We provide everything that your vehicle could need to protect it. And then some. We have some car care products too and some other things. But our lookup guide is quite robust. If you have any make model out there, you're going to find from coolants to brake fluids, tranny fluids, diff fluids, fuel additives, you know, different engine oils, filters, air filters. I mean, you name it, we'll probably have it. And it's all online clicking. Like you said, everything shows up in a box delivered to your door.
It does.
It's pretty convenient.
Yeah, that's what I really like about it. And I know the exact capacity and how much I would need to get. I just thought of a question. I know this is the diesel podcast, talk about diesel trucks, but a lot of our listeners have other vehicles, or, you know, their spouse does, or they're looking for a commuter. And a topic had come up recently about EVs. And I wanted to ask you, I'm not even sure if these products are out or they're just in development, but when it comes to EVs, to my understanding, there are things like, you know, coolant, transmission fluid that they're going to need. Is how, this might be speculation too at this point, I don't know, but how much do you think formulations or approach would change on something like that that's not an internal combustion engine? Because those are going to need service too, as they get more popular, get out there, get some more time, you know, on them. I was really curious about that.
Right. EVs have quite a bit different requirements than today's internal combustion engine. The transmission fluids that they have are very different. They have different requirements, much lower viscosity. A lot of times they have to be able to manage electrical flow because that fluid is also part of that system. And then the cooling system that cools the batteries also is dramatically different than today's engine coolant. So the products that we put in our internal combustion engines today are not the same products that we would put in an EV. And those things are products that we work on, you know, to have those offerings in the near future. You know, there's not a lot of those cars on the road right now, and they don't require service, you know, the first couple of years that they're on the road. So from the aftermarket perspective, we have some time in order to be able to provide a solid solution for those vehicles.
I know probably somebody will come across this podcast 5 or 7 years from now, and they're going to have their Cummins, you know, turbo diesel or their Power Stroke or Duramax they tow their trailer with. They're going to have this electric SUV that, you know, they might drive around town or something. And, you know, we both know people are brand loyal, and the guys, you know, will have ran AMSOIL, you know, engine oil in his diesel truck. And he's like, well, I want to run that in my you know, transmission in my EV or something like that. So we'll definitely have to revisit that in the future. But I was really curious kind of how they compared, and, you know, the future, what's coming around.
We'll have solutions for them when we get there. We're kind of laying in the weeds right now, letting some of that EV action settle out, yeah. See what its growth rate really comes to, and then see where we can come forward and provide products to shine. You know, AMSOIL is not a me too company. We don't just make a product that competes with every other fluid that's out there. We provide a performance advantage. So we need to discover what that performance advantage can be in these vehicles and then bring it forward to commercialize.
Well, I appreciate you chatting with me today and talking about a subject that it's not as glamorous as engine oil debates and some of the other topics that are out there in the truck world, but it's really important. And I loved what you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast about how we're asking these cooling systems to do more probably now than we ever did on a diesel truck, and the kind of load that they bear and being able to make sure you protect it, because I know it's not cheap to fix any of those things. If you have issues with the heads warping, or, you know, something in the engine block, or, you know, something, you know, catastrophic. I think I had a listener message me and his radiator like cracked or something. He was driving and he pulled over, and it's just like those temperatures get too hot too quick. It's very expensive, depending what got overheated. So, it's always great to chat with you, learn more. And I like seeing how you guys approach the maintenance and the service and keeping these trucks on the road and streamlining it, not just with the coolant, but also engine oil, transmission fluid, differential fluid, and other products that you guys have to help truck owners and shop owners out there.
Right. Cooling systems, the other lifeblood of the engine. If you're not taking care of it, you're putting your vehicle out of the service.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20. Save 20% off. We really appreciate the crew over there offering this exclusive discount code just for you guys. So if you're in the market for a knife, some gear, they've got a ton of different choices and can really meet any budget that's out there. Also want to give a shout out to a couple of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen of 23 Diesel, also Caleb. We appreciate all of our Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, all the podcast apps out there. We do this podcast for you guys. Love to bring you the content that you want and love seeing what you guys are working on. So if you're not on our Discord, make sure and head on over. We're up to, I think, 630 diesel enthusiasts there. Love seeing the builds, the things you guys are working on with Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke, even VW, Mercedes diesels, tons of different things. So it's a cool place for us to all be able to hang out, chat, talk about trucks. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.